Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher natan lanu Torah amet v'chayei olam adikeinu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'Torah b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu ha'ola olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. As you see by all the animals that had to be sacrificed, that without a temple and without the hundreds of thousands of people there that were needed for each and every sacrifice, it's impossible to do today. For that reason, I won't be speaking on the Torah section, but on the Haftarah section. Let us pray. Abba Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your word this day. And I pray that may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. I have to excuse me if I lose my voice through it. Today, we're going to look at Pinchas from the Haftarah. And do you really want the anointing that he wanted? And if you want it, how are you going to respond to it when you get it? The anointing doesn't just happen. There is a certain degree of sacrifice you have to make to receive the anointing. The question is, are you willing to make the sacrifice to be anointed? Prayer is one thing, preaching is another, but neither one of them will accomplish much without the anointing. So I'm going to ask you again. Do you want the anointing, the very presence of Elohim, working in your life? If you do, that we have to listen to what Elisha did for the anointing. Look at the sacrifice he made, but also look at what the anointing accomplished. So let me know if you really want that anointing. Do you want what Elisha got? Let's turn to Malachim Aleph, 1 Kings 19 and 15, please. Yehovah said to him, go back by the way of Damascus desert. When you get there, anoint Hazael to be king over Aram. And then in verse 19, it says, Yehovah said to him, So he left and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. He himself was behind the 12th. And Eliyahu went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Some people call that a banner. Excuse me. So Eliyahu found Elisha. And that means he was looking for him. He was actually searching out for him. You need to know that Yehovah is also watching. He's also evaluating. Yah is always on the lookout for someone that he can evaluate to anoint. Are we ready for that? Elisha had Yah's attention. Here he was, not working in a corporate office, not living in a palace, not driving a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes car, or what they drive here on the coast. Audis and all sorts of things. No, he was out in a field ploughing. He was covered in dirt. You can't plough and not get dirty. He was doing his everyday work, but he had Yah's attention. Sometimes you might feel as though you are far down the line when it comes to if someone is going to notice you. It's you're the one then that is more likely to be picked. But Yehovah notices. Can we put up what he notices? He notices your sacrifice. He notices your faithfulness and your commitment. And he also notices your willingness to do the jobs that no one else wants to do. That's what it is that gets the anointing. Elisha had Yah's attention. I want Yah's attention on me. I want Yah's good attention, not just ordinary attention. So how did Elisha get Elohim's good attention? He was busy. He wasn't sitting around with his hands folded, waiting for the perfect ministry or opportunity to come past. He was busy where he was. He was working with what he had. He was dependable. He was responsible. That means his father knew the job would get done. Elisha's father knew that he could trust Elisha alone in a field with 12 yoke of oxen. He didn't have to stand over him, watching him all the time. He knew whatever was placed in Elisha's hand, it would be completed. Elisha was self-disciplined. You have all heard the word discipleship. It means a disciplined life. Comes from the same root. Discipline and discipleship. It is a tragedy that so many people in the body of Mashiach view discipleship and the disciplined life as some kind of punishment from all the fun things of life. It's not true. If you become a believer, you can no longer do the fun things. Elisha was willing to work with no immediate reward. As a farmer, he understood there is a lot of work to be done before you enjoy the fruit or the reward of your labour. Elisha was a hard worker. He gave himself 100% to his work, or as some people say, 110%. Some people work harder trying to get out of working than if they just buckled down and got on with the job. Used to work in an office when I was young, and it really used to surprise me how the young 16-year-old girls would leave their desk and walk ever so slowly to go to the little girls' room and then ever so slowly to come back. And it surprised me because that wasn't my work ethic. One, I didn't go when it wasn't break time, and two, if I had to, it was quickly off and quickly back. No, these young girls, they would walk ever so slowly. They didn't have the work ethic. And I'm talking about 1965, 66, you know, way back then. They didn't have it then. And it's changed a lot since then to this very day. So they work harder at trying to get out of work than they do at actually working. Everybody needs to be appreciated. And everyone wants to be recognised and praised. That's just human nature. But a mature believer understands that we are working for Yehovah, and it is Yehovah who will reward us for our labour. We don't work for man. It doesn't matter what job we're in, it doesn't matter what we're doing it for Yehovah. These were the qualities in Elisha's life that attracted Yah's attention. There are people who are always talking about a double portion, but they have never yet qualified for the first portion, let alone the double one. I think I need to say something really important here. One, the anointing is no substitute for hard work. Neither is it a substitute for training and education. The anointing is no substitute for character. It does not produce character. Yeshua did not say, "You shall know them by their gifts or by their anointing." No, he said, you shall know them by their fruit. Not their character, not their gifts, not their anointing, by their fruit. The fruits of the Spirit are the qualities and attitudes Yeshua manifested through our humanity to benefit humanity itself. The anointing does not replace practice. It does not replace study. We have to study Yah's word. We have to know Yah's word if we want to get the anointing. And while we often say the anointing is more important than the talent, we should also realize that talent is a gift from Yah. And when he anoints your talent, it glorifies him at the highest level. Character is the nature and attributes of Yeshua HaMashiach. The anointing is the power for Yehovah's service. I'll repeat that. Character is the nature and attributes of Yeshua HaMashiach. But the anointing is the power of Yehovah for service. When you put the power of Elohim and the nature of Elohim together, you have the full manifestation of Yeshua HaMashiach. He was and is a full representation and manifestation of the Father in every way. The anointing without Yehovah's character or without the fruit of the Ruach is confusing and a contradiction. And there's an example of that in the life of Shimshon or Samson. There was no question that Shimshon had a supernatural ability, especially where strength was concerned, by the anointing of Yah. But his life was out of balance. There was no character, there was no fruit of the Ruach in his life. So while Elisha was waiting on the anointing, he was waiting while he was working. And while he was working on his character. Elisha was becoming the kind of man that Yehovah could trust with his anointing. He was becoming the kind of man Yehovah could use. To have the anointing, you have to be willing to make a sacrifice. Elisha was waiting for something. He was working while he was waiting. He didn't give up. Do you ever feel like you need more, but you can't seem to reach the point where you're going to receive it? Think about Elisha. He was plowing and he was waiting. You're doing your work, you are waiting. He was praying, he was waiting. He was plowing and watching. He was praising Yah and watching. He was plowing and expecting. Elisha's Ruach was reaching out. Something on the inside of him was stirring. Something on the inside of him was telling him, you're bigger than this. But he didn't give up. Something was telling him, there's more to life than this. But he didn't know what it was. Until Eliyahu comes along. Eliyahu actually represents the anointing. Eliyahu walks out into the dirt, into the field where Elisha is plowing, behind the 12 oxen. And Eliyahu throws his cloak or his mantle over the top of him while he was working. Is there anybody just glad that Elohim saw something in you that he could use? Because he uses each and every one of us. I know I am. Other people couldn't see it because in their eyes I was all covered up with dirt. They couldn't see me where I am today. I couldn't see me where I am today. It was never a dream of mine. It was something, a job Yah gave me to do. I had to be obedient and do it. But with that, he gave me the anointing. He gives it to me through his word every time I speak. It is not my word, I promise you. It's come from Yah. I cannot take credit for one word I say. And I won't. Because Yehovah provides the word for me. He gives me the words to speak. That's why what I've written down here, 99.9 times out of 100, what I say is not on this page. So people have often asked me, oh, I would love your message. But the point is that I've changed it as I go along. Or I've added something that wasn't there. Or I've skipped out a bit and thought, no, I'll say this instead. And it just goes on. Because you do it as Yah leads. You have to be anointed. Yehovah said about you, about me, about Elisha, I can use him. I can use her. I can do something for him or her. I'll put my anointing on them and they'll plough for me. And that's what we have to do. We have to break up soil when it comes to getting a message across. That's ploughing. I'll put my anointing on them and they'll plough for me. I'll make them into a vessel of honour. I'll use them to tear down Hasatan's kingdom and establish the kingdom of Elohim. When Eliyahu's cloak touched Elisha, destiny jumped into Elisha's ruach or spirit and said, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been praying and asking Elohim for. This is what my heart has been crying out for. It's the anointing. The first anointing immediately launched Elisha into many things. One, there was serving. Two, there was ministry. Three, was being discipled. And four, being mentored by the man of Elohim. He positioned himself for the double portion anointing. He left everything and Eliyahu became his spiritual father. Are you willing to leave it all? He placed himself as a son and under Eliyahu's jurisdiction because he discerned the anointing of Elohim in Eliyahu's life. He put himself in school. He became a disciple, a follower, and a student of Eliyahu. He wanted not what just Eliyahu had, he wanted that double portion. A lot of people want the kind of anointing that will get other people saved, healed, and delivered. But few people want to do what it takes to get it. They want the anointing, they want the power of Elohim in their lives, but very few want to position themselves in humility and submission to the person of Elohim over their lives and say, teach me, lead me, correct me when I'm wrong, rebuke me when I need it. I've never had one person tell me rebuke me when I need it. And if I do need to rebuke it, they don't like it. They don't come back because I've said, we can't accept that. That's not the way to live. You accept Yeshua as your Messiah. You claim that you're a believer. You can't act that way and still come here. You either have to get married or separate. You either have to make up your mind the way you want to live. And if I rebuke them, they don't like it. So they don't come back. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do any more than that. And I can't feel ashamed or rejected or anything. It's their choice. The first anointing that touched Elisha's life was the anointing of the student, the disciple, and the servant. Everybody wants the double portion of anointing, but the double portion doesn't come until you've walked and lived and served under the first anointing. When Eliyahu's cloak, often referred to as a mantle, touched Elisha, the scriptures say immediately he went after Eliyahu. He left everything to follow and minister and be schooled and mentored by the man of Elohim. Elisha knew that he was not going to get where Eliyahu was overnight, but he was committed to the process. Can we go to Malachim Aleph 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21, please? So he left and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. He himself was behind the 12th. Eliyahu went over to him and threw his cloak on him. He left the oxen, ran after Eliyahu and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I will follow you." He answered, "Go, but return because of what I did to you." So Elisha stopped following, over the wooden yokes of the oxen and Elisha stopped following him. He took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, cooked their meat over the wooden yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people to eat. Then he got up after Eliyahu and became his servant. Now that, to me, was not just leaving everything and going. He burnt the yoke that drove the oxen, which means that no longer could he go back to doing that job again. There was no way he was going to turn his back on his old life. He was going forward to follow Yehovah. He was going forward in the anointing that was put on him. This was the first test. Right here is where a lot of people fail. They've been touched by the anointing, but the price of following, the price of discipleship, the sacrifice, and the commitment is often too high, and they settle back down into their comfortable, predictable, routine way of life. This first step of a new level in Yehovah is exposure. You have to see it. While Elisha is ploughing, praying, watching, waiting, just being faithful with what he has been given, Yehovah is telling Eliyahu, "I want you to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, for he will be a prophet in your room." So while Elisha is ploughing, taking care of business, faithful in the little things, willing and obedient, the anointing is coming. It's on its way. He can't see it, but it is coming. He may not hear it, but it is coming. He can't tell it by looking at his present circumstance, but it is coming. The same applies to each and every one of your lives. When Eliyahu passed by, Elisha's life was shifted forever. We're getting ready to shift to another building. I believe we're going to shift into another level of Yehovah's anointing. But I have to warn you, when you go into this shift or the next level of anointing, some people aren't going to make the shift. They're not prepared for that next level. If there is anybody ready to go to the next level of anointing, then get ready for a mantle or a cloak to fall on you. Because I believe that's what's going to happen with our shift. So let us go back to the scriptures of Malachi Aleph 19 and 19 to 21. So he left Elisha and found Elisha the son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with the 12 yoke of oxen. He himself was behind the 12th. Eliyahu went over to him and threw his cloak on him. He left the oxen and ran after Eliyahu. And he said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will follow you." So he answered, "Go, but return because of what I did to you." Elisha stopped following him. Then he took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, cooked their meat over the wooden yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people to eat. Then he got up, went after Eliyahu and became his servant. Didn't become his PA, personal assistant. He became his servant. When the cloak or mantle falls, how will you respond? I found that there's a purpose in Eliyahu's casting his mantle upon Elisha. First, it was a goodly robe which represents splendor in a figuratively or magnificent fashion. It was cast upon the man because he was to become someone who was to be honored or was to become glorious. When you cast your cloak, when he cast his cloak upon him, the action is explained as constituting a species of adoption because the father naturally clothes his children. The notion of fatherhood and sonship was evidently understood between Eliyahu and Elisha. This action of casting the cloak upon him was no doubt signifying that he was being called into the office of a prophet. It signified a position of power and favor with Yehovah. If we go to Yoel or Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. After this, I will pour out my ruach on all humanity. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Your men will see visions. And also on male and female slaves. In those days, I will pour out my ruach, or spirit. Yoel was speaking after a mantle that was going to be cast upon people in the last days. It was going to be a cloak of glory and power. It was going to be an anointing that would bring the individual into a divine position with Yehovah. In Malachim Beit, or 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, after they had crossed, Eliyahu said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double share of your ruach be on me. Let a double portion of your spirit anoint me. Like King Shlomo, Elisha asks for no worldly advantage, but for spiritual power to discharge his office correctly. The double portion is that which denotes proportion of a father's property, which was the right of an eldest son, according to Devarim or Deuteronomy 21:17. It says, no one must acknowledge as firstborn the son of the unloved wife by giving him a double portion of everything he owns, for he is the first fruits of his manhood, and the right of the firstborn is his. Elisha therefore asked for twice as much of Eliyahu's ruach as he should have inherited, and therefore he was given it by being the prophet of son of a prophet. He simply claimed, that is, to be acknowledged as Eliyahu's firstborn spiritual son. And is this not what happens when we're born anew? Do we not become sons and daughters of Yehovah? I believe we do. Therefore, we're entitled to a double portion. Look closely at this in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the appointed time arrived, Elohim sent forth his son. He was born from a woman, born into a culture in which legalistic perversion of the Torah was norm, so that he might redeem those in subjection to this legalism and thus enable us to be made Elohim's sons and daughters, I will add. Now, because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth into our hearts the Ruach of his son, the Ruach who cries out, Abba, that is, dear father. So through Elohim, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, you are also an heir. And we know that when scriptures speak, they only speak when it's written in Hebrew. Hebrew is such that when you're speaking to a male, you speak in the masculine, tense masculine words. When you speak to a female, you speak in the feminine. And they're different. But when you're speaking to joint, male and female together, you always speak in the masculine. So that is why when you read scripture, it always mentions sons, because it's written in Hebrew before it was put into English. And so it's referring to the masculine, because that's what they do in Hebrew. But when Yehovah speaks, he's talking about all mankind. In Romans 8, verses 14 to 16, it goes on from being an heir. For it says, if the heirs are produced by legalism, then trust is pointless and the promise is worthless. But what law or Torah brings is punishment. But where there is no law, no Torah, there is also no violation. The reason the promise is based on trusting is so that it may be as Yehovah's free gift, a promise that can be relied on by all the seed, not only those who live within the framework of Torah, but also that those who, with that same kind of trust that Avraham had. Avraham Avinu for all of us. Avraham Avinu means Avraham our father. When I speak of a mantle of power and glory that is received from Yehovah when a person receives the Ruach, it is also known as the Holy Ghost by a lot of people. Yeshua said in Luke 24 and verse 49, now I am sending forth upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been equipped with power from above. They had to stay. They had to wait in the city. And further on in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Yehuda and Shamron, indeed to the ends of the earth. When Eliyahu cast his cloak upon Elisha, I'm sure he must have felt the wind that came with that covering. He felt as if he received it fall upon him. In Acts 2, as they were waiting for the promise, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. What was taking place was that Yehovah was casting his mantle upon all believers. It was a mantle of fire and of spirit, a mantle of glory and power, one that signifies that they had received the Ruach of adoption, which made them sons and daughters of Elohim. This is why I like our new logo. It's not just a Torah. Sorry, it's not just a menorah, but it's also the spirit that represents the fire. When you see Beit Gan Eden written, you will also see the I, not dotted, but a little flame of fire of the Ruach HaKodesh coming off the eye. And it was designed by Luke, and I think he's done an absolutely amazing job, because it speaks more of what we are and who we are and represents us, more so than what the old logo did. Mind you, the old logo was 19 years old and it needed a time of refreshing. Let us now go to Kephar Aleph, or 1 Peter verse 2 and verse 5, please. Chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be Kohanim, set apart for Elohim, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to him through Yeshua the Messiah. And in the same chapter, verses 9 and 10, if you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, a holy nation, a people for Elohim to possess, why, in order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, once you were not a people, but now you are Elohim's people. Before you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, this position was limited to or restricted to a qualified minority, the prophets. Their position was to offer sacrifices for the people and to communicate directly with Yehovah. Now, through Yeshua HaMashiach and what he has provided, those that become norm anew, born again anew of the water and of the Ruach, have direct access to Yehovah. This is the speaking of the believer. Yehovah grants special honor to those who become sons of Elohim. There is a special anointing upon the one that becomes part of the Kohanim or priesthood. In Mark 16, verses 17 to 20, it says, "These are the signs, and these signs will accompany those who do trust." I'm sure that's everyone here and everyone watching online. "In my name, they will drive out demons, speak with new tongues, not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison, and heal the sick by laying hands on them." So then after he had spoken to them, the Lord Yeshua was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of Elohim. And they went out and proclaimed everywhere, Adonai working with them and confirming the message by the accompanying signs of healing the sick, raising the dead, etc. We must have the mantle. And the mantle, of course, is the Ruach HaKodesh. There is a special anointing that comes with that mantle. And you will know if you've received this mantle by the fruit that you are producing. If you've not received the experience, if you've not received the experience that comes with the casting of the mantle, you need to find the presence of Elohim and stay there until the anointing comes. It will come, but you have to keep praying. You have to keep waiting. Don't go around chasing it. So many people would chase this website and chase that website or go to this church or that church. You have to wait. You're not going to get it from man. Man's never going to anoint you with the mantle. It's got to come from Yah. So you keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. Keep watching. Keep waiting. It will happen. Because with the anointing, we then become the property of Yehovah. We have to die to self and allow Yehovah to anoint us so that we can operate in his power. Before we can do this, we have to wait on him as the Talmudim waited in Yerushalayim after Yeshua told them to. We have to be obedient. So if anyone wants prayer for the anointing later, please come to me and I will pray for you.